public hearing to order. I would like to mention that if you'd like to speak tonight, if you please sign in over here on the sign-up sheet, and I'll try and let everyone have a three-minute little talk. The reason we're here is to receive public input on a proposed Polk County public safety levy. And if you could, if you have cell phones, if you could turn them off or put them on silent, I would appreciate it. And I'd also like to thank everyone for being here today to give some input or to find out basically what's going on with this public safety levy. So first thing I will do is we will start at the my left, and we'll let those folks introduce themselves.
I'm Marty Silvernagel, Director of the Juvenile Department and Community Corrections.
I'm Greg Hansen. I'm the County Administrator for Polk County.
I'm Jennifer Wheeler, Commissioner.
I'm Polk County Commissioner Mike Ainsworth.
Greg Polk, Commissioner.
Eric Felton, Polk County DA.
Bob Wolf, Polk County Sheriff.
We'll start this public hearing off by listening to Mr. Hansen kind of give an overview of how the county's kind of gotten in the situation that we're in, and some more information.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Commissioner. Essentially, you're here today because I made a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners back in November of 2014 to place a operating levy or local option tax on the ballot for May of 2015. That local option tax would be a 45 cent per thousand assessed value with a duration of 5 years. And if that were to be the case, for example, if you owned a $200,000 house with an assessed value of $200,000, it would be a $90 increase in your property taxes. So, like I said, I made the recommendation to the board. The board accepted the recommendation. That does not mean that they have made a decision to place a local option tax on the ballot in May. That's the reason we're holding these public hearings. We're holding a total of 9 of them. This is public hearing number 6. So we've had 5 previous, and we'll have 2 more in the West Salem area, and then our final public hearing will be next Wednesday at the Board of Commissioners meeting room. The reason we are here is because our public safety system has had severe cuts in the last 5 years. In 2008, we had a total of 112 FTE that were incorporated into our public safety system, and by the system I mean Polk County Sheriff's Office, both patrol and jail, emergency management, adult community corrections, juvenile, district attorney's office, both prosecution and support enforcement. Those made up the areas of public safety, and there were 112 individuals in those departments. Currently, we have 78 individuals in those departments. We have reduced our staffing a little over one-third, and as a result, the types of services we are able to provide have diminished greatly. We no longer are able to provide 24/7 patrol in the sheriff's office. We are no longer able to house as many juvenile offenders in detention. We've had to reduce our beds there by one-third, from 6 to 4. We're unable to prosecute the way we would like to, and all these individuals at the table can speak on their own department's behalf and the services that they would hope to provide in the future but currently are unable to provide. So the reason we have had to make those cuts is revenue. We've had flat property tax revenue for the last 5 years. That may be beginning to turn around a little. We've also had a reduction in our federal timber monies, or ONC timber, or SRS, which is Secure Rural Schools, however you want to call that funding, it's all the same. At the peak, that funding was about $2.3 million. Currently, this year, we have received zero. Last year, we received about $850,000. So, in any way, shape, or form, that has severely been reduced, and right now, like I said, this fiscal year, we have not received any, and whether we receive any in the future is up to the federal Congress and that to determine if we do or not. But that's the basis for the need. Obviously, a year ago, or a little over a year ago, we went out for a local option levy. That levy was 60 cents per thousand. This one's 25% less, and that was a duration of 4 years, with this one being a duration of 5 years. So that's the goal of this levy, and hopefully we will hear input from you, the citizens out there, to determine whether this Board of Commissioners will move forward with a ballot measure in May. Like I said, there has not been a decision on that, and that's the reason for all these public hearings, is to get that input, to give them a better decision-making point, rather than just a memo from me recommending that. So.
Thank you, Greg. Now we'll hear from Sheriff Baldwin.
Thank you, Commissioner. Okay, well, you know, we're here tonight to, as Mr. Hansen said, get input from you. So I just want to give you a quick brief overview of the Sheriff's Office so that we can have more time for you to ask questions directly of me or the DA or Marty with Community Corrections. The Sheriff's Office is the one responsible for 745 square miles. That includes jurisdiction within the cities as well as on tribal land. We have the patrol division and the jail division. Both of those are from the general fund portion of the budget that Mr. Hansen referred to. And by the very nature of the work that the Sheriff's Office does, we take up the biggest share of that general fund budget. Within the Sheriff's Office, I am also responsible for all search and rescue missions that occur anywhere inside this county. That is mandated by Oregon law. Only the Sheriff's Office can operate the search and rescue. And the Civil Division, that's the division that serves all court documents, as well as restraining orders, forced evictions of dwellings, where if you're a landlord and you need somebody booted out because they're not paying rent, it's the Sheriff's Office that serves that paper and evicts the people from that property. That's not a function of the state police. That's not a function of the municipal police. We also take care of child custody issues when the courts order a child picked up, as well as money and property seizures. If property is foreclosed upon, it's the Sheriff's Office that ends up seizing that property and turning around and selling it at a sheriff's sale. Again, not the city, not the state, it's the sheriff. There's about 100 plus laws that direct things that only the sheriff can do, and a lot of that occurs inside the cities. The jail division is a large portion of my budget right now, and within the jail, all of the agencies, law enforcement agencies, use the jail. City of Monmouth, Independence, Dallas, City of Salem, portions of Willamina, and the tribal police use the county jail. The jail is also responsible for all court security issues, and that is something that right now is severely lacking in the courthouse. We do not have court security officers that stay in the courtrooms unless we have a situation where a person is in custody and has to be taken before the judge. Then we have an officer there, but the rest of the time when we typically would have someone moving in and out of the courtrooms or standing by during certain court proceedings, particularly if court staff and or the judge are concerned about something, that occasionally turns out to be me that goes up and does that now, because I don't have the staff to do it any longer. You as taxpayers had one of the most effective and efficient jails in the entire state of Oregon built. Back in 99, we opened that jail. It houses up to 204 prisoners. We have never reached capacity. And we are also one of the only jails in the state that continually gets very high marks when we have our two-year inspections of the jail. But because I've had to cut staff back since 2008, it's been slowly coming back, and last year was the worst, overtime is really costing you as a taxpayer a lot of money. We budgeted for $60,000 in overtime just in the jail, and through December 31st, I've already spent $79,000 in overtime. I've got to find someplace else in the patrol budget or in the jail budget now to try to make up that difference. The purpose of the jail to serve all of the cities, and we do not charge the cities for the use of that jail. I hope to not have to get to the point of charging the cities for the use of the jail, because right now they're the biggest users of it, and they use it also to take their municipal prisoners to their court instead of taking it through the state court. Why do we need patrol? That seems to be a question that comes from a lot of the cities, such as Monmouth, Independence, Dallas. The patrol division serves a wide function, and we're also part of multi-jurisdictional teams. Monmouth, Independence, Dallas, and the Sheriff's Office make up a drug team that goes out and does drug enforcement. That team's no longer in operation right now. We are also part of a major crime team that we all come together when there's a major crime to pool our resources and try to address those issues. I would struggle to get people on that team right now. A special tactical response team has been set aside due to the fact that we don't have the people to still be on the team, and the other smaller agencies don't have enough people to keep the team active. We are also the backup for a lot of the cities. And as a matter of fact, in a case that just happened this week in Monmouth, we had deputies inside the city of Monmouth helping Monmouth look for a sex offender that had created a crime. And whilst everybody was looking for him, it turns out the guy had slipped over to Salem, and Salem found him. Monmouth got tied up on another call, and my deputies drove to Salem and picked up the person for the city of Monmouth and brought him back. That's just one example of some of the stuff that the Sheriff's Office does. And whenever you drive from Monmouth to Salem, if you have an issue or a problem, it's the Sheriff's Office that's going to respond to that. We take care of everything outside the city and then back up the cities when they need assistance. OSP is not the answer. Some people have said, well, why don't we just put more troopers over here? Superintendent Rich Evans would be happy to come and sit here and speak to you, but he's allowed me to speak on his behalf. OSP is not the answer. They don't have the troopers to put over here. There's a lot of things that we do that their troopers can't do. So it's the loss of the timber money that has caused this problem. And I have been your sheriff since 1999. I've been at every budget meeting that the county has held. And I can tell you right now, there is no extra money. If there was, I'd be after the commissioners and the budget committee to get it. The money is gone. It is no longer available to us. Those timber revenues have gone away. And the only way that we're going to be able to restore back the 24-hour patrols and to get us back involved in teams and to provide backup to the cities is the passage of a levy. When and how much that's going to be, that's what we're here talking to you for this evening about. So. And I'd be happy to answer any questions later if you have any specifically at the Sheriff's Office. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. Get the list, Heather? Get the list.
Here, hold on. I see it. I'll get it.
I got it.
This is a time where you guys have the opportunity to come up, and for those of you who have signed up, and once again, once we go through the list, I'll give you guys an opportunity to sign the list if you'd like to speak to the board up here. The first one, Steve Milligan. Steve, can you come up? But I asked if you give us your name and your address so that we can have it on the record, please.
Sure. Steve Milligan, City of Monmouth. Need street address too. It's on the
street. It's on here. I see.
Good evening. It's nice to see you guys again. Hopefully it's under better circumstances the next time. One of the things I want to speak to is, as Greg and Sheriff Wolf have talked about, that there's definitely a financial need. So I'm in favor of a levy. As I mentioned to a couple of you, I'd be supportive of helping you campaign to make that happen. I believe that it's in the best interest of the citizens of Polk County that you do it sooner rather than later. I think the challenges that you'll face in trying to get this passed this spring will be far less than the challenges that you face in the leadership of this county if you let wait so that the revenue doesn't come in for a year and a half. Not only are you as the commissioners going to be challenged if the levy takes longer to get on the ballot, but you're going to cause more problems for those of us who are managing and running cities. As Sheriff Wolf mentioned, I was out walking my dogs and I'm like seeing Sheriff Patrol going up and down the streets of Monmouth and Independence. I'm like, it's odd I'm not seeing a Monmouth police car. And I know that our resources are so stretched right now that I don't know how you guys do it. And my fear is that if we keep waiting longer and longer, at what point is the stretch going to break? So my encouragement to you is to put it on the ballot this spring. Like I said, it's going to be probably a bit of a challenge, but not nearly the challenge it'll be for the problems that happen if it doesn't pass, if it doesn't get on the ballot. So again, I'm offering you my help with what I've done in campaigning over the years. I know you guys have run some campaigns yourself just to be sitting here. So campaigning isn't that foreign to us. So we need to go out and put those campaigns back to work, not only for ourselves as elected officials, but for the citizens, for the financial and public safety strength that we can have and get back to. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. Toby.
Bring some notes, Mr. Chairman. My name's Toby McClary. I didn't need the notes for that. 793 Sitka Deer Court, Northwest, Salem, Oregon. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, and the Polk County public officials. I'm here tonight as a Polk County homeowner as well as a representative of the Confederated Tribes of Grand Round. As a homeowner, I want to voice my support for a tax levy that would result in additional resources for public safety. Although this will have a direct impact on me personally, the statistics surrounding drug use and criminal activity in our county over the past year will speak for themselves. I've done the math and I will gladly pay an additional $100 per year for a peace of mind. In fact, that seems minimal when I think about long-term effects of reduced law enforcement coverage. Now, switching my hat, I also serve as a member of the Grand Round Tribal Council. We know firsthand the costs of operating important public safety programs, and we are sensitive to the difficulties Polk County has providing stable revenues for such functions. The Tribal Council supports the concept of Polk County providing new revenue for a rebuild of your public safety capacity. Our tribe, the community of Grand Round, and Polk County as a whole will benefit from an increase in law enforcement and jail coverage. New tax levies are difficult. We encourage you to take the time to work with your constituents and not rush a new ballot. Education is a critical component to any new ballot measure. On behalf of the Tribal Council, we offer our help if we can be of any assistance. Thank you.
Thank you, Toby. I appreciate it. Pamela.
Hello, my name is Pamela Venegas, and I'm in Buena Vista. I will have the unpopular view. I'm actually against the levy. My reasons are, where I situate in Buena Vista, the county just spent, I don't know how much money, in grant money to tart up the Buena Vista park. The only knowing that they couldn't patrol it. So we now have the pleasure of drug transactions on two levels in our park now, not just back to one. The other reason that I'm against the levy is I'm still trying to figure out how to pay for this year's property taxes. I am a family of three on a 20-hour week work week, so my family of three is supported by that. I don't see in our household budget where I have room for that. I, I don't see that happening. As far as Polk County's security, I value my family's security. I value my neighbor's security. My frustration has been how much does Polk County feel about my security? I was shocked to not only read, but to see on television, here on the radio, exactly what hours patrols were being done. I was floored by that. Usually, when I leave my home unlocked, I don't scream it to my neighbors exactly when I'm not going to be there and when it's unlocked. And so that's kind of how that caught me, reading, you know, we're going to have guys in cars from 7 to 10 or whatever. So that was surprising to me. But my biggest issue is I don't know where we're going to find the money. I don't know where you guys are going to find the money. That's true. But as a homeowner, I don't know where I'm going to find the money either. So, thanks.
Thank you for your testimony.
Mr. Chair, may I?
Sure.
In regards to the concern that you have about the release of the hours in which we would be patrolling, you know, that definitely is a difficult balance to make. And I felt more comfortable with the fact that I think the citizens needed to be aware of the delayed response time that they would be receiving because we didn't have patrols out, over the issue of the criminal element trying to figure out what time we would be there or not. Typically speaking, a lot of those folks don't watch the news, they don't read the paper, and they can't remember their court dates anyway. So it was a difficult balance, and I share that concern with you, but I chose to lean towards, I felt that the community and the citizens needed to understand the seriousness of it from the standpoint of, if you call in a crisis situation, if it meets our threshold, there's going to be a delayed response. And so I felt the citizens needed to know that.
Thank you, Sheriff. Dan. Or should I say smiling, Dan?
Well, it's good to see the board. Anyway, I just wanted to share in my particular position some Dan Dauberko, 480 Crater Monmouth. I guess anecdotal evidence, if I get to hear people's concerns, and ever since the nation's economic collapse in 2008, it's been, people have been stressed financially, and people want to be safe and, you know, want to cover that. But I hear constantly how financially stressful it is for families. And I was thinking, okay, a levy like this, it might be more palatable to the community if it's possible to have, get them to agree to increasing public safety funds if perhaps other bureaucratic areas could be audited and leaned out. And so there would be sort of a net sum zero of tax increase. Has that been considered?
Give me an example.
I really don't know. I would think that maybe look through what government agencies are like, maybe potentially able to be leaned out somewhat. Because that's what I hear too, is the constant dread of, $100 a year, well, okay, that doesn't sound like a lot, but for a lot of folks, it is. And I just wanted to share that with you, that ever since 2008, you know, we've noticed that people are just scared to death of allowing taxes to be implemented. But if there was a way that there could be a trade-off somewhere, it might make it more palatable to the community at large.
I'm not sure I'm hearing what you're asking, but yes, we have done that.
Yeah,
we have cut as much as we can cut.
Okay.
So, for example, we've got three full-time employees in our clerk's office.
Oh, okay.
You can't run the office with less than that. We have four in the treasurer's office.
Okay.
And that's including the elected official.
Oh, okay.
So I can't remember the numbers in the assessor's office. We have cut every department in our general fund as much as we can cut. Unfortunately, the sheriff's department gets the majority of the general fund, so he gets cut the most.
Okay, well, now that's interesting. If that was presented to the public, that everything has been cut as much as possible, then maybe people would be more willing to go along with somewhat of an increase. But that was
just certain parts of the money can't be switched over from one department to the other. Much like public works, you know, it's all basically the gas tax.
Yeah.
And so that's a dedicated fund for public safety and the roads and stuff.
Okay.
And then there's some mental health dollars that come. And Greg can really explain it. Greg, what went? I started.
Yeah, no problem. County budgets are not the easiest thing to understand. We have a number of budgets and a number of functions that we provide as a county. Obviously, public works is one that everyone knows about. Cities have them, counties have them, state has ODOT. We receive approximately $5 million to operate our public works department. All of that, those monies, though, are dedicated to roads and road safety and road maintenance and that. I can't take that road money and hire a new prosecutor for the DA or two new patrol deputies for the sheriff. That money has to be spent on roads. So you may be wondering, why did we chip seal, you know, $800,000 worth of roads this last year? And why didn't you hire some cops instead? Well, because we can't. So we do our best under that function to maintain and have a good transportation system in the county. ODOT does a little less on that half, and some of your cities are distressed right now with their city streets.
Right.
City of Dallas, City of Monmouth, I just saw it's going to have a street committee, City of Independence. Everyone's distressed. Fortunately for Polk County, we are not, but we're distressed in public safety because public safety is a function of our general fund. Things we have in the general fund funding-wise is primarily property taxes. O&C revenue, SRS, whatever you wanted to call it, used to be one of our big contributors.
Right.
When I first started here, and I've been here for a long time, since 1985, our federal timber money used to be twice as much as our property taxes.
Yeah.
Obviously, over time, property taxes have grown, and the federal timber money reduced. So right now, we get about $8 million in property taxes, and our SRS money's down to zero now.
Oh.
So that's the fluctuation with public safety, and because it is tied to your general fund, that's why that's suffering. Our mental health department, we've hired probably 40 individuals in our mental health department in the last 5 years. Unfortunately, we had to lay off about 15 or 20 of those, but now we're slowly hiring back. There's not any property tax money from Polk County citizens going in there for Polk County property taxes. Obviously, there's federal taxes that you're paying and state taxes that you're paying that fund that department. And that department costs about $10 million. But no property tax money, at least from local citizens, are going toward that. There's no general fund money that's being moved into mental health. But we're hiring people all the time. And people are going, why are you hiring counselors when you should be hiring patrol deputies or prosecutors and that? Again, that money can be only used for the certain functions or that mental health has, and they have a myriad of departments and programs and that. So we have looked at all of our departments. Public safety was the last department or the last system that started to face the cuts. We'd already made cuts to our assessor's office, our clerk's office, our treasurer's office, our community development, and unfortunately, these last 5 years, with the revenue shortfalls and the flatlining of taxes, our public safety system has had to suffer.
It has. There's no wage growth commensurate, and that's, I think, one reason why people are so financially spooked by taxes.
And I understand and I agree. Our expenses have gone up. Obviously, we're a government. In Oregon, we have the PERS system. That's cost us more money. Starting July 1 of this year, 2015, we will have to pay an additional $350,000 in tax, or in PERS, just to, because that's what our rates have done to us.
Boy, I can see the work you've got cut out for you, because how to convince the public to go ahead and...
Hey, and I've known you for a while, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
If there was any money around,
yeah,
I tell you, there's nothing out there.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating, you know, because my mom's on a fixed income.
Right.
My mother-in-law's on a fixed income.
Yeah.
I know it's only 90 bucks or whatever it is, you know,
yeah,
but it's still $90 that is taken out of their budget that they have every month. It'd be $7.50 a month.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
It's taken away from maybe going out to eat one day a month or whatever it is.
You know, so, okay, that's neat, you know, that you understand.
And that's why we're having the public hearings. Just so people realize, that's why I let Greg and the sheriff talk first, and then, you know, we receive public testimony.
Okay, well, thanks. I thought you'd like to hear some anecdotal evidence of what I hear from the public just all the time. Well,
thanks,
thank
Dan.
You.
Thanks. Thanks for coming. Francis.
Hi, Mike.
You gotta remember, I grew up in Monmouth, so I know a lot of these folks. Name, address?
My name is Frances Gordon. I live on Park Place, 295 Park Place. And my husband and I bought the house in 2008, paid $1,800. We are paying $3,400 now. Ouch. It is hard because we're not getting benefits either, and health insurance, and my husband's a owner, operator, truck driver. And thanks, Mike, for trying to help you get a job. And I have a job, I don't have benefits, but I tell you, when I heard about this, and I understand, I heard your plea, the budget, families are on budgets, strict budgets. I understand budgets. I've had to work on budgets for a long time as well. But this is just so hurting to me, and I'm thinking, why don't Oregon have a state tax? Maybe that's, you're talking homeowners, and it's like pinching pennies, and it's very difficult. And it's unbelievable that I have this house and we're being able to make it. It's a nice home. I look young, perhaps 6'0". That's young.
That's middle age now, remember?
Oh, and maybe I need to find a job that I could get benefits, because that's costly. But I'm thinking, is there another way? And I heard what you said. And the sheriff, as I see it, I took my grandkids to the park and I love it. I don't like the wire situation there, but I heard. And I think I know who Greg is, too. He recognizes me. I reckon I didn't. But you know what, you guys? I know you have a hard job. We all have hard jobs. And what? Maybe we wouldn't have settled here in Monmouth if we would have known, or even the house that we have. But what is the answer? Is it the levy? Is it that? I don't know. I know you've been researching and trying to figure this out. But I come and I'm listening to this and all of this, and I think, wow, what an eye-opener. What is the answer? And I listened last night after the Bible study in our home, which I'm thankful we can open our home for that. And I'm thinking to the State of Union address and money. It's all about money everywhere. And it hurts. I'm not just talking about myself. I'm talking about some neighbors who are on fixed incomes as well. They don't have extra dollars. I don't know. When is enough enough? And I am... the sheriff and I hear. But anyway, that's my heart. That's my cry, because it concerns me very much so. And I appreciate your time, and thank you for letting me I want to make it happen. Trust me. And I don't want to lose our house because I've had to pinch and pinch. And I worked hard. I haven't laid around doing nothing. So, anyway, that's my heart. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, parents. Rose.
Well, my first question is, how much money do you guys stand to gain on the taxation of the marijuana? That's one question I have. Another question, you're talking about selling homes that are foreclosed. How much money of that do you get, this county? But the marijuana is definitely, you know, a big question. And then I have a basic statement here. You're not going to like it, but it's true, every bit of it. And you know it as well as I know it. So here goes. It's 2 minutes. We property owners are being discriminated against. Every time the city, county, state want money, it is the property owners who are always asked to provide it versus a sales tax that where everyone can share the pain. In the House of Representatives congressional record of 1963, the 45 planks of a communist manifesto were inserted. These agendas move forward slowly so people don't catch on. Property tax is one of the planks of the Communist Party. Property taxes are the reason you never really own your home. You are tenants in common with the government in the ownership of your home. As soon as you stop generating that tax revenue, you will lose your home as we embrace more Soviet communist style philosophies across the board with taxation. And part of that goes with PERS. Maybe they need to not get the raises they do. We can't afford to keep giving it to them. The United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda 21 was brought forth in 1987. The United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda 21 was established in 1992, the Rio Earth Summit. This says that our inalienable rights, such as the right to private property, must be eroded, attacked, and struck down altogether. This endless demand for more and more property taxes is part of the agenda to erode our property rights and force us out of our homes. Our politicians are following Agenda 21 perfectly. I'm talking about governors, all of our politicians. I've watched it for too many years, and I know what I'm talking about, and so do you. The UN agenda is, the UN's idea is that rights are granted and rescinded by them, and they say individual rights will have to take a backseat to the collective, and that individual wants, needs, and desires are to be conformed to the views and dictates of the planners. And as you know, we have planners. You know that as well as I do. I've watched, before Obama ever got elected, he wrote Senate Bill 2433. And he laid out in that every single thing that he had planned to do if he became president. And I'm going to tell you right now, he's done every single one of them. And no, we can't afford, it's not just Polk County. It is the city, it is the state, it is the county. Everybody wants to continue taxing, and that is all part of what is going on. So much money is wasted in this country on stuff that isn't even necessary. As one of the comments I made to you last time, this is just outrageous. You can't keep doing this to people. I think people in government are going to have to stop getting some raises. That's all I can say. The heck with PERS. We can't afford salary increases, step increases, bonuses. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. It's got to stop. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else like to go on up?
Marshall Guthrie, 16-31 Teton here in Monmouth. I am curious. Projecting the tax revenues that might come from marijuana sales legally, I think is too much to ask for. But Could you talk about the purpose of those taxes? In the plans that have been unfolding, has any of it been assigned a purpose that would solve some of the problems that we're talking about? That was a question, sorry.
Just from the marijuana itself?
Just from the sale of legalized marijuana.
Well, the DA can jump in here, but it's mostly in its infancy, and I would be really surprised to see very much of any of it actually get down to the local level. And a lot of it will go into prevention programs and rehabilitation things for people that have a problem with it. So there is in the law, the way that it's written, it does cut out a certain portion that would go to state, county, and municipal law enforcement agencies, and I think some to the DAs. But it's not going to make up $2.4 million.
So nothing's set in stone yet, but it's not looking like that would solve the issue.
Nothing's, and I agree with the sheriff completely. Nothing's set in stone, but if you kind of go through the formula that was set out in the bill or the measure itself, it felt like it became like a funnel. It gets smaller and smaller as you go to what gets down to the counties itself. It's very, very small. And I don't know the precise number, but the sheriff said it very well. It's not going to make up the amount of money we need to start making up what could be contained in the proposed levy at this point. And there's a lot to be said. That's why OLCC at the state level and other areas is trying to figure that out right now. And I mean, that's why they had one example, just the initial part in terms of the education budget, which is one of the larger areas that's projected. I think they said something like $55,000 in the first year was some projected amount that might go to education. So that's just, you know, an example of how far there's to go in figuring out how much money could come from the revenues, because it's so speculative at this point.
Sure. Okay. I just wanted to.
Yeah, it's a good question, though.
Sure. Probably you get more information maybe as next year comes about.
Sure.
With Washington and Colorado and see what effect it's taken there. I don't know what they're taxing it at.
I can tell you that there's the opposite side of the question, though, trying to project what we might need. We might, looking at the enforcement of potential governmental influence of marijuana, we're looking at there might be increased costs for us in terms of people who are using a new legal substance in addition now to alcohol. You've got more people potentially on the road who are now might be impaired as a result of marijuana. We might see an uptick potentially in impaired drivers on the road. So just from my office, we think that the caseload might go up as a result of that. I can't quantify that, but I see that in the up column mm-hmm. rather than the decrease.
Sure. So the revenue increase could be offset by a cost increase as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's a good speculation.
So another quick question, just looking at tools in the box. We've got the property tax as a potential tool. Are there other revenue generating tools that the county has at its disposal? We obviously don't have a sales tax. We've only been in the state for 5 years. So
you really don't.
Genuine question.
Counties are very limited in what they can do. And most of their revenue sources come back to a property tax of some sort. This is an operating levy. It's not a permanent type of tax. It has a duration of 5 years. Another thing we could do is form a law enforcement district. Mm-hmm. That's a brand new entity of government. And when you form that district, you'd also assign a permanent tax rate to it if the voters voted in favor of both of those ideas. That would become a permanent tax,
sure.
But it would also be a new form of government. So you'd have this board, who sits now like on an extension service district board, they'd have another board that they sit on. And
more bureaucracy.
Yes.
Okay. So I only have two questions left. The second to last question is there any way to structure a property tax that's tied not just to value of the property, but you could be looking at household size and income as well? Okay. That was an easy one. Okay, so then that brings my last question, is what happens after 5 years? Then we're not projecting that these revenues are coming back, so why
and,
5 years?
And I'm not going to kid you, I'm not saying that this is a five and done type of thing.
Right.
Most likely the county would be coming back to ask for another 5 years, but there's no guarantees. If the public, if we were successful in passing one, There's no guarantees that the public would see that after 5 years it was worth it, and they may have voted down.
Sure.
But it's of a limited duration, unlike a permanent tax rate in that.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
So, you know, one of the things that you've asked some really, really thoughtful questions, and I appreciate that you did that. And it's, I think it's good that we have somebody who's only been here for 5 years to ask those questions, because it helps remind everybody some of the things we take for granted. So I do appreciate that you ask those questions. You know, one of the things that we talk about and we all struggle with, and everybody in the room has opinions on the taxing system that Oregon uses, taxing systems, I should say. And the problem that we face is, as was just described, we're trapped. We don't have any other tools. We can't design a new widget. You know, we don't have a way to go out and generate more revenue, statutorily. But you do. And so that's one of the statements that I continue to make as we go forward. Though we're kind of hamstrung here in what we can do, and I constantly am working on congressional fixes, or at least band-aids, if you will, to get us back the dollars that the federal government has paid in the past for the acreage that sits in our county and sits in every Western Oregon county, at least, that is occupied, you know, with trees and so forth. So, though some people will describe the Secure Rural Schools or the ONC timber funding as charity or welfare, I continue to purport that those are dollars that we should be getting for natural resource management, and that's what I'm going to continue to push. So the point of we don't have any other tools, we do have advocacy. And so it's important that everybody remember that, you know, the points made about sales tax and other things, those are citizen initiative opportunities. And though we've been to the ballot 9 times in Oregon for sales tax, is that right? So we got folks that are saying, yeah, but we should be doing it one more time. Yeah, okay. But that's not our call. And ultimately, to get past this 5-year issue, we've got to fix the taxing system in the state of Oregon. We've got to get some relief to property tax issues and get a different taxing system that is a little bit broader, I think.
Sure.
But that's not our call. You know, we're just kind of stuck. So we'll keep working on advocacy at federal level. You know, send us a rent check for the, you know, for the ground you're on in our counties, or send us some payment in lieu of taxes. That's kind of what it's about. And we'll keep talking to our citizens about what they can tolerate and what they can do, and that's what we're trying to accomplish at this point. We just got to lay it out. Your quality of life costs are this. And you have to tell us what you want us to do to maintain that quality of life and what you're willing to pay to have that, because we can't make it magically.
So the county is offering services, and if we want to purchase these services, the only way that we are able to do that is through property taxes. So it's a decision of whether or not we are going to buy, and then the haggling of the price.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and so what I'm pointing out, though, Marshall, is, again, our position right now is at least give us this 5-year tool while we talk about how, and we go out and work collectively as a community or as a state about how we fix this problem long term. Because though I'm saying, you know, I'm going to continue to work towards trying to get that federal check to cover it, I believe that's short-term as well. It's just a band-aid. I don't see that as a long-term solution. So collectively, we've got to figure out how we're going to change the way we collect our taxes to pay for our quality of life services in the state of Oregon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marshall.
If you have people start moving out of this county or state, you're going to lose a lot more. And that's another thought you should think about, because I'm considering that right now.
Anyone else? Yeah, come on up.
My name's Don Dutcher. I live at 500 College Street South. I'm one of those people that's on a fixed income, and it kind of hurts. But having listened to what the problems are, read in the paper what they are, I don't think you have any choice but to go ahead and put that measure on the ballot. $90. I happen to live in a home that's probably right around $200,000, and I'd pay the $90, but it would hurt. But I think it has to be done. So, don't spare the horses, go for it. I get a little frustrated in the long term. We've been whining about this timber money going down, down, down for years and years and years, long before probably any of you were on the council. And it's frustrating that we haven't addressed that issue and looked at other revenue sources besides that, because that money's going away, and probably rightfully it should. But I'm proud to live in Monmouth in Polk County. I think the services are good. I'm unlike Mr. Milligan. When I walk my dog down the street, all I see are Monmouth cop cars going up and down the street. I very rarely see a Polk County. I looked at my tax breakdown before I came tonight, and the city of Monmouth, I pay nearly $800 to the city of Monmouth for a nice, bright new station that we're going to rejuvenate over there, and our armada of police cars and policemen. And you know, I feel very safe living here, but I feel sorry for people that live out in the county, because they don't have all of that, you know. So we've got to step up and help those folks. In listening to what you said, Sheriff Wolf, I would like to know what I could do as a citizen to change some of these laws so that the cities participate in getting some of these jobs or responsibilities and take them away from the counties, because it doesn't seem right at all. Cities getting $800 of my money, Polk County gets around $400. They get half. And so it's kind of a frustrating situation. I would really like to know what I could do for my representative, my senator, or whatever, to change some of these laws, if you say they're laws, to better apportion some of these responsibilities. And for those that have the money and have the time, have the people, put them to work, doing more work. I'm sure everybody will claim, oh, we're real busy, but let's face it, a small staff versus a larger staff, the larger staff should be doing more work. But getting back to what I said originally, I would put it on the ballot. It's badly needed. I'll support it. Anybody I've talked to, I would urge them to support it too. But, you know, hopefully in 5 years, you won't have to come back and do it again. You may, but I guess we'll worry about that 5 years from now. Thank you.
Thank you. I saw a hand over here. Come on. See, I knew people would warm up after we got
back. Yeah. My name is John Westall. I live in the county south of Monmouth on Rolling Hills Road. And I have three basic questions. One is, you have on one of these handouts, what options does the county have to generate revenue? And this may be a question that causes a larger audience and maybe even some of you to glaze over, but I would just like to understand the details of, you say we can form a taxing district, or we can, to go along with a new permanent tax rate, or we can propose an operating levy. So I get the operating levy, but what exactly is the quote-unquote permanent tax rate, and what is a new taxing district?
Well, Greg, I'll take that one. Every city or county in the state of Oregon operates under a permanent tax rate. We were assigned that when Measure 4750 passed at the Oregon in 1997. So Polk County's permanent tax rate is $1.71 per thousand. And then every city, if you looked at all these different charts, would have a different permanent tax rate. And we cannot change that. We cannot levy any more money than the $1.71. That's the limit of which we can levy taxes in Polk County. City of Monmouth has a permanent tax rate. I don't know what yours is, but it's at X, and they can't go above that. The only way they could go above that, or the only way Polk County can go above that is to ask for an operating levy. Things that fall outside that permanent tax rate are like bonds. For example, City of Monmouth just passed a bond to build a new police station. They asked for voter approval for that. They can then, if the voters say yes, then for whatever amount that they put on the ballot, then they can put that bond measure out. Voters voted for it, they'll pay off that, but that's not a permanent rate because that has an end date to the payment on it. So it was a 15-year bond. I don't know what your bond was. 15-year. So those are things that fall outside of that permanent rate. So,
and that would be the taxing district? Would be.
So if you form a new taxing district, which is a new entity of government, which happened when Polk County Extension put 7.5 cents on the ballot and formed a extension district. That became its own unit of government with its own established permanent rate. So they are now capped at 7.5 cents per thousand. That's the max they could levy, and they can levy anything below that. If we formed a law enforcement district, and there's multiple ways, you could have a law enforcement district that encompassed the whole county, you could have a law enforcement district that encompassed only the rural parts of the county. There's a whole myriad of options you could. But when that district is formed, most likely they would also ask for a permanent tax rate to be approved. If both of those passed, then that would be the new established permanent rate, whatever that dollar amount is. Would it be 45 cents? Probably not in a law enforcement district because you may encompass more things in that law enforcement district. It may become its own entity. In Deschutes County, they have two law enforcement districts, one that is all encompassing the county and one that is only on the rural portion of the county. So every county does it unique, but most counties operate operating levies, not a new taxing district.
Okay, so 5 years from now, one of the proposals could be a permanent tax district.
Forming a law enforcement district. That could be an option.
And that's a longer term solution than.
That is a permanent solution, obviously, if you pick the
very
right.
Very long term.
Yeah. Okay. A permanent tax rate, yeah.
Okay, so point number two is maybe about 5 years back, we passed fairly nice road bond.
Actually, it's almost 10
almost
years.
Almost 10
now.
Years.
2006,
how time flies when you're having a good time.
When you're having a lot of fun, yes.
And so I think it's pretty clear now that Polk County has the best roads in the state.
Probably darn close, yes.
How did we get that passed, and is that the same sort of thing we're asking for here?
Well, that was a bond with a duration of 10 years. So we're coming up on the end of that. In 2006, I'll give you the full history. In 1986, we passed a road bond. And I think back then it was $7.5 million. And fixed our roads, which were probably one of the worst set of transportation roads in the state. And then in 96, Polk County went out for another bond, and that was for the construction of a new jail, which is the one we're operating today, and also a tax base increase. This is prior to Measure 47 and 50 when a permanent rate was established. So in 1996, we passed a tax base increase to increase the amount of operating taxes that we could levy as a county. Right as soon as we passed that in May of 96, in November of 96, Measure 47 passed, and then later 50 revamped it a little and shrunk that tax base down a little, and that's the permanent rate that we live in with today as Polk County. Then in 2006, we went out for another road bond 20 years after the first road bond, and that was a $20 million bond to maintain and improve our road system. And yes, currently today, we probably have as good or if not the best county road system in the state of Oregon. Yeah.
So are the...
Those are bonds, and those fall outside of permanent tax rate. It's a complicated system.
So would the bonds fall in this pie chart on this? Well, it's really not other tax. Are the bonds on this pie chart?
Here, I'll give you one for Monmouth. Even though I know you don't live in Monmouth, this is a different pie chart.
Greg,
Can we just state that bonds are for capital improvements and not for operating?
Right.
I mean, that's what they're for.
Yeah.
That's how much the people of the city of Monmouth are paying as a percentage of their property taxes. Right now, the permanent tax, or not the permanent, the rate on our road bond is 54 cents per thousand. And that's what's going to pay off the bonds. We have this year and next year to pay off those bonds.
So if I'm just watching my pocketbook, the bonds will sunset in 2 years, and actually the public safety levy is less than the road levy?
The road bonds. Yes, right now the road bonds are at 54 cents, and what the levy is, the requested levy is at 45
cents. So except for a year or two overlap, it could be...
But that makes an assumption that we won't go out for any capital improvements, and I can't tell you for sure that we won't. Okay. But I know we won't to the magnitude of $20 million.
Okay. So that brings me to my third point, which is I think two speakers before me said that basically the county performs services and we have to pay for those services. And from the literature you presented and from these questions, I think I'm getting a pretty good deal. And so I think I would like to see this levy go forward, and I would like to see a vigorous campaign by you all. I appreciate the fact that you're having these hearings, but it may take a lot of campaigning to get this thing to pass.
I'd like to get another one just to show you what other companies are paying in the area.
Yeah.
So and, yes, you are.
And if I ask too many details here, I beg the...
That's what the public hearing's for.
Everyone's...
Well, I'd like to ask John a question now.
Oh, sure.
We'll let you. You've got several questions, so I'll ask you one. So you made the statement about you'd like to see us run a vigorous campaign. And my challenge is, do you trust government that runs campaigns to raise your taxes, or do you trust citizens that run campaigns instead?
Well, I can see it. The ball is back in my court.
And I'm asking this for everyone. I mean, one of the challenges that I have, and I'm a taxpayer too, and so when the governor goes out and tells me he's running a campaign to raise my taxes, I'm less likely to support that than I am if you and a group of citizens come to my door or run a campaign and say, we support this and here's the reasons why, we're taxpayers too. And so I just want to put that out there, that is a concern of mine. I've heard a number of people say, well, they expect the commissioners to run this campaign. And, you know, we have a harder time soliciting support and fundraising than citizens do. And so I just want to share that with everybody that, you know, I don't see this being a successful campaign if it's left to the devices of the three commissioners or all of us elected sitting at the table. Though we're anxious to be actively a part of that, it really is challenging right now for me logistically to look at that as a, you know, is that the right way for us to do it? We did that once already. It wasn't very successful. It was hard. We tried, you know, but we just could not seem to stimulate financial support and boots on the street to help get it done. So I just wanted to get your perspective on, you know, what kind of campaign do you believe in? And others might think about that. Well, you'll probably get your shot at it, Steve. You just get a chance to finish. So, not meaning to put you on the spot, just if you had a thought on that, if you don't, that's fine.
Well, no, I think the thought that's very good is to turn it back to me and everyone else out here. And so I would defer to Steve.
Good job. Good, you're better at campaigning than we are.
At least I know he knows how to organize things.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
So I want to answer your question, Mike, because it's already been brought up about the $20 million road bond. And all I would ask is that the three of you exercise the same capital, how do I put this? Be like Mike. Be like Mike Probst behind that road bond. He didn't sit idly and say, it's up to you citizens to pass this road bond. He got out there, he talked it up, he used his political capital, he used his communication skills to get behind that and make a move. Now, I'm not saying you guys have to set the pack up and you have to do all that, but at some point, the three of you have to show the rest of the county that regardless of what your ideology of tax is, you have to abandon that. You have to suspend that for right now to make sure that this tax happens. You can't just go, well, we're kind of to the right, which is kind of anti-tax, so we're going to kind of stay back from it. You have to be aggressively tax-friendly, tax-supportive to make this work. And you need to let the people know that voted for you, as I wrote in my letter to the editor last week, that they, I mean, you guys knew this was a challenging time to be commissioners. If the people that elected you didn't know that you were going to have to make a hard decision on this public safety issue, I don't know what they were voting for. But now you've been elected to do that. You need to get the people who supported you to make this hard decision to back you in what you do as a decision. And I'm saying it's time to show that you have the courage and the leadership skills to make this county full again. Don't go, well, if somebody will step up, you guys need to step up and ask some of us that have said we would be supportive to come into your camp and work with you. Don't wait for me to create a PAC to do it. Because if I don't know that your political will is there, I'm not going to succeed. The only way the citizens are going to succeed at making this levy pass is if you guys vocally show that you have the political will to make it happen. That's my answer to your question.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Sure.
Hi, I'm Patty Dutcher, 500 College Street in Monmouth. 14 years ago, we moved here on purpose. We retired with fixed, very fixed incomes. We looked all over Oregon. We settled on Monmouth and Polk County, and both Don and I have been pretty active in the county and in our communities, doing what we thought was good for the community and for us as well. One thing I've figured out is though all of those timber monies, that train left the station and it ain't coming back. Sadly, everyone kept counting on a little bit every year, which sort of filled in the gaps. And now we're at the point where we either build a fence around the cliff to keep cars from crashing down into the valley where they're going to need an ambulance. And I think that's the best thing we can do is to vote, get this on the ballot, vote for it, and put our money where our mouths are. We don't have a lot of money. There are things we'll have to give up. We've had to give up as our taxes go on. But $90 a year comes down to one trip through the drive-thru for one person. I think we can all give that up.
Thank you, Patty. Okay, anyone else? Judge?
I'm just going to ask Mr. Felton to explain to the voters here what he would be able to do with this passage of this bill.
Thank you, Judge. I appreciate the question. And I just also appreciate the comment my friend Steve Milligan said. But I don't know if I'm ever going to be aggressively tax friendly, no matter what. Sometimes I don't even like paying my light bill. But I do know I need to see in the dark. But I do think I appreciate shared sacrifice. And I think that's what we're looking at here, is increasing some sacrifice. So, and I also really respect the people who are, who's, it's hard to talk to for. It's a straight up honest answer to the question. I truly respect that. Pope County has had a long tradition, and it's well known in the state, sure is well known by the people who commit crimes that wish they'd committed them in Polk County, I mean in Marion County, excuse me, because when they find out they're in Polk County, they know they're going to jail, and they're going to stay there. It's been a tradition of holding people accountable, and that's what my office does. It's also been a tradition of helping people find a better way. That's what Mr. Silbernagle's office does to run their programs. The holding accountable is what I do because Sheriff Wolf's folks, when they catch him, it's also Chief Talon's folks, he's back there, when their folks catch him and put him in Sheriff Wolf's jail, my folks come in, prosecute him, work to hold him accountable so they know there's a consequence to committing crime. We're having a harder and harder time doing that. We're the smallest office in the state for a county this size. I've got three paid prosecutors full-time. I also, by the way, I'm free to the county. The state pays my salary, so Polk County citizens don't directly. There's about the county, y'all pay to the state. You pay, but I'm not out of the county budget. So that's four prosecutors. That's small. That's about the size of Tillamook County's office, and they're about a third of the size of Polk County. We're projected, if the levy were to pass, we'd get three additional criminal prosecutors. The numbers I cited are criminal prosecutors. We have one additional support enforcement prosecutor, but they don't do criminal cases, and two staff persons. We don't do juvenile dependency cases, child abuse cases in my office anymore. We would be able to do that. That means we have a full-time juvenile prosecutor. We don't have that anymore. We have a part-time person doing it. We have that. I would also fully support, my presumption is that if Sheriff Wolf gets the deputies he needs, we'll be in a place to get the drug team, the point team back up and go on the way it was. I would be adding a full-time prosecutor to support the drug interdiction efforts in this county to work with the point team, because there's still drug crimes happening in this county. The point team court had to lay down because of the cuts. We're making some very significant arrests, some very significant operations. That's clearly still going on. There's still heroin, methamphetamine going through this county. So I would establish a full-time prosecutor to advise that team. Also be our work for that team, also work with financial fraud, property crimes, which is a part of that as well. I would also establish someone to work directly with Measure 11 violent crimes, which is happening here as well. One of the most significant things that I do with the cities is that I'm still, even though Monmouth has a very effective and aggressive municipal court for misdemeanors, we still get a lot of cases from the detectives for sex abuse, violent crimes, and those higher Measure 11 cases. I would be able to establish a prosecutor solely directed at those types of prosecutions. All those cases take significant amount of time. Right now, we're just doing triage on those and just being able to barely keep up. That is the effect of having three additional prosecutors, being able to give the time and effort to be able to follow through on those cases effectively. That's what you're going to get from three additional prosecutors. Now, I want Sheriff Wolf to have deputies. Don't get me wrong. Good, effective, trained, experienced deputies make my cases better when they get to court. More detectives, if that's the way he's able to do, or keep his detectives, make my cases better in court. But I need to have good, experienced criminal prosecutors to prosecute those high-end cases and also misdemeanor-level cases. DUIs, that's the gentleman's talk, asking the questions about marijuana revenues. I'm anticipating an uptick in potential driving while impaired cases. I need prosecutors specializing in those types of cases as well. Right now, we're all spread very thin. One of the reasons I was able to sort of maintain the level we're at is I took on a full caseload to myself as well. So we're all spread real thin. It's a long answer to a short question, Judge, but that's how I see the money being spent in my office.
And as a result, if I may add, if the sheriff and the DA's office is not increased through the levy, then our office, Community Corrections, suffers because we don't have as many people to supervise. Our community correction budget is a state-funded budget, not out of the county. And our budget is based on the number of felony offenders that our office supervises. Currently in Polk County, there's over 500 felony offenders, adult felony offenders, in the adult system. The juvenile system, Mr. Hansen indicated we are two beds short what we used to have for detention beds for juveniles. Currently, about 10% of all youth that are adjudicated in court spend at least a day in detention. So one out of every 10. The youth that we supervise are felony youth. We have a community program called Sanction Court, in which community members sit on to help deal with the lower level juvenile youth that we receive reports from law enforcement on. So the detention beds are for felony youth, not misdemeanors. So.
There you go. Okay, anyone else?
Sure.
It's Mr. Noel, but I can't remember the first name. Russ. Yes.
Russ Noel, 1920 Oak Grove Road. We talked about campaigning, and somebody mentioned that you guys needed to be really aggressive. There's three of you, 76,000 residents in Polk County. I think maybe we need to even the odds and help out wherever we can. So if you make a list of people who want to get on committee or whatever, put my name on it. That's it.
Thank you. Anyone else? You guys like to close with anything?
Sure.
Aaron? Greg?
I'll say something. I've been quiet. I kind of look at this public safety deal kind of as an umbrella over the entire county. And I look at it that way, and I like to liken it to like the school systems that we have in each one of our communities. You know, Central High School is an Independence, but if you live in Independence or Monmouth or in the Central School District, we all pay taxes on that school. And we pay taxes on that school when we're first married and don't have any kids, and then when we have kids, we're starting to pay. I mean, we're happy to pay because our kids are going to school. And then it's like a community. And I kind of look at it that way with public safety, in that it encompasses the entire county, much like the school district encompasses the entire district that they serve. And that it's really all of our duty to help provide those services for schools, for kids to get a good foundation and be able to go to school and get a decent education and maybe move on. And I kind of look at that way with public safety in that. Sure, we're talking about a public safety levy, but it's not all about patrol, about patrol officers for the sheriff. It's about people that will be in the jail. It's about folks in Marty's office that will supervise parolees, whether they're sex offenders or they've committed a felony. It's part of a sanctioned court deal where we're dealing with young people who have committed a crime, and they need to be held accountable. And that's what public safety is about, is to hold these folks accountable so that maybe they won't do it again. And I know it's not a great analogy with the school district, but if you stop and think about it, yeah, it really is. Because we're all paying for that. And I think that's why, as a resident of Polk County,
that we should continue to help support our public safety as we move forward, because it's about a quality of life also. You know, I want my mom when she's driving to Salem some days, you know, and I'm selfish that way, that if something happens to her on Highway 51, and it happened maybe after 10 o'clock, that nobody's going to show up there for a while. Bob's guys are already off work, and, you know, it takes a while for the police department to get there or the fire department, you know. I want her to feel safe, and it's about safety. And if this level passes for, you know, $90 for a $200,000 house, it's 25 cents a day. And you know what? For 25 cents a day, that gives me a little security. And I know from what everyone has said here about being on a fixed income, okay? My mom and my mother-in-law are both on a fixed income. But as we look to move forward, I don't think we would put this out to the public if we didn't know there was a real need. And I'm very honest with everyone that I've talked to, is that I don't know where else to go. We have already cut it right to the bare bones. And if we want to continue to live in a wonderful county, you know, I think it's time to maybe look at maybe seeing this option, whether you agree with it or not. You know, that's just the way it is. So to close, I would just like to thank each and every one of you for being here, because it's about the information from the public so that we can make a decision. And I hope that for some of you, that it's really opened your eyes, you know. And we're not trying to sway anybody. We're just trying to get the information out there. But as a county, that's where we're at. You know, when we were getting all that timber money at $2.5 million or $2.3 million, you know, that's why our tax base is so low at about 71. Probably, I think it's the 12th lowest in the state. And so that timber money kind of offset, and that's the reason we had a low tax rate. And that's part of the reason where we're coming out and giving you some information on the public safety levy, because that 45 cents would kind of offset that as we move forward. And I don't have an answer. I'll be very honest with you. I don't have an answer for the future. If I had a crystal ball up here, and that's what we're here. If someone else has some answers, we're all ears. I mean, you can come to my office anytime, or you can see me in public anytime. That's why we're here. So once again, I'd just like to thank everyone for being here today. I really appreciate it, because this is what America is all about, to listen to the folks that are in our community. And that's who we serve here as elected officials. We work for each and every one of you. So thank you. Yeah.
One last question. I don't think my question was answered about, he's talking about selling foreclosed homes. Where does that money go?
The county receives tax foreclosed properties annually. We usually get 6 to 7 properties a year. We probably get a house once every 5 years. Most of the foreclosures of homes occur by the banks and through a civil process, not through the county. If the county receives property through tax foreclosure, what happens is the county tries to get that back on the tax rolls. It sells the property. We get a charge against that property, any administrative costs that we had in selling that property. And then anything beyond that amount goes into the tax pool and gets distributed to all the taxing entities. So we would receive 15 cents on the dollar, because that's approximately how much we receive of your property tax dollars.
So if it sold for $100,000, we'd get $171. That's all we get. That's not much.
Answer my question.
Yeah. So, okay. This public hearing is adjourned. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.